All right, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 175. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And Halloween season has begun. We are here to begin our series review of Halloween. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But quickly, at the top of the show, there were some new films this week that we did go and see. Probably the biggest release of the weekend. I think it did actually okay. I don't know. I don't remember what exactly the box office was, but The Nun, the new film in the Conjuring franchise.
Yeah, it did better than okay. It was massive. $53 million.
How much?
$53 million.
That's pretty good.
That is the number one opening for the Conjuring franchise.
Yeah. I expected the drop off. We didn't talk about it before the show.
Nope.
I don't know if you saw what I had to say about the movie.
I did.
Okay. I didn't like it. I thought it felt super like going through the motions, like very cookie cutter. I thought it was like, I generally like The Conjuring, even though The Conjuring itself is kind of generic in a way. Like, there's not any real like twist or spin to it. It just tries to do a quality like horror thriller or like supernatural, you know, horror.
Yeah.
But this is just like, to me, felt very lazy and yeah, like just a cash grab.
I wouldn't disagree with that. It's very kind of par paint by numbers.
It almost felt like really goofy out of the '90s to me, but
yeah, I could definitely see somebody getting that feeling from it.
Like I remember in The Conjuring 2, The Nun was like really scary, and I didn't think this movie like really captured that mood. I don't know.
This almost feels more. As I was watching it, I was like, this kind of feels almost like horror fantasy. Like, and maybe it was the setting, like,
yeah,
kind of this old like abandoned abbey that has this gothic feel to it, but it's not really scary. It's more like, you know, a fake castle.
Yeah. And yeah, I thought that like there were parts of the plot that I was just like, why did they put that in there if they're not doing anything with that? Like the whole thing about how she wasn't a nun yet didn't really seem to come of anything. Like it was like she was special for some other reason.
You're not wrong. It's a little convoluted. I do think that the reason that it was important that she was not a nun yet may have been because she could then be captured by this demon. So she was kind of like bait, but I don't really know. Because he doesn't go, like, he doesn't try to the demon, Valak, I believe is what they call it, does not try to take over the priest and does not try to take over the one other living character that's in the abbey, which is, like, this guy Frenchie. Only her. So I don't know, like, what really going on there. But yeah, she was special because she had visions, or she was able to have visions.
Yeah, I guess, you know, we should give like what the basic premise was, which was sure. Like this nun kills herself and this priest and this like nun in training gets set to go investigate it, right? That's basically it, right?
Yes.
And weird stuff's going on, a bunch of bullshit. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't care for it. Oh, yeah, another weird thing. Like, I got into somebody on Twitter. Like, what's her name? how do you say her name? Taissa?
Taissa Farmiga? Yeah, the one that is the sister to the star of The Conjuring.
Yeah, that's confusing, dude, because they look alike.
Exactly the same.
Like, she looks like the younger version of her, so I took it as, like, then she grew up and married Patrick Wilson.
Yeah, that's how I was like, the entire time, I'm like, I'm trying to think of what her name is in The Conjuring, and like, I'm like, is it Irene? Like, is that what it is? Like, and then evidently it turns out that, no, they have no relation. They just look the same. Like, it makes zero sense. Why would you cast her?
Weird, there? Like, you know, maybe it's a favor type thing, but then, like, it just, yeah, like, it makes it confusing.
Especially since they pull clips from, I think, from The Conjuring at the end of the movie.
They're, like, retconning shit. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, it feels like... But it's like, no, it's not. They're not the same people. That Frenchman is, you know, but...
Yeah, he is the guy that...
We're kind of spoiling it, but whatever. This movie sucks, I thought.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess, like, that is maybe the big reveal, the tie to all this, is that...
It's not important.
Yeah.
This movie is not important.
No, it really isn't. I don't think I hated it quite like you did. But...
No, I didn't hate it. I really didn't hate it. Like, I'm being mean to it. I didn't hate it. I thought it was just worthless. Like, it was like, yeah, you could watch it.
Yeah. But like that's kind of how I like it. It is a film.
Like, it's competently made, kind of. Like, it's...
In parts, yeah.
Like, I think it makes weird choices, but, like, you know, it's a movie.
And I do think, like, if you have seen the trailer, you have seen the scariest parts of this movie.
Yeah.
I think the trailer actually does a better job of creating tension than anything in this movie.
I think that the marketing for this film, that's something I was going to say, actually. The marketing for this film was way better than the actual film.
Yeah.
They did a great job marketing it. I think that's kind of why... You know, and plus it's tied into a very popular franchise, but mm-hmm. I think this thing kind of dies off. I'd say it's a skip, like maybe, you know, maybe like if it's on Netflix or something, but even then, I think it's not very good. You know, I think what's her name in the lead, like, again, I thought that was confusing, but she's cute at the very least, but the movie didn't do much for me beyond that. So.
Yeah, I mean, I like her. I like I'm gonna butcher his name here, but Damian Biker, who plays the priest. Like, I liked all three of the primaries. They were fine.
Yes, they're not.
They're not given much to do.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it 2 stars, and I'm saying skip it.
I'm a little more generous. I'm going to give it 3, but I also kind of agree with Jeff, especially with movies coming out here. Like, there's no reason to go out and see this movie. There are better films coming along and that are still out in theaters. So,
such as Peppermint, which you saw, but I did not.
Sure. I'll say that it's better than The Nun.
Okay.
I liked Peppermint. It got terrible reviews. It is a very generic revenge movie, but it is satisfying all the way through. I think it's competently made. Jennifer Garner she sells the lead character of Riley North, who. Basic premise here is that her husband and daughter get gunned down by gang members. There's a reason for that hit, but she then tries to have, like, she identifies the 4 people that did the drive-by. They get off, and she kind of loses it. And then goes missing for 5 years. And when she returns, she is out for, like, straight up vengeance, killing everybody that was fucking involved with this, straight down to the judges and the DA and Like, she is on like a war path, and it's not particularly good, but it is cathartic to watch. It is. I find Jennifer Garner enjoyable. This is what I like her doing the most. Like, this goes back to when she started J.J. Abrams, like Alias. She works really well as an action hero. And she's basically the female Punisher here.
Sounds like it could be fun.
Yeah, it is. It is not anything like amazing that you need to see, but I think it is perfectly fine. Like, if you are looking for like a Punisher type movie.
So I'm guessing I know the answer to this, but better than Death Wish.
I like it more than Death Wish. Yes. Yeah. I did not like Death Wish at all, though. So.
I did not hate. I forgot what I gave Death Wish. I didn't hate it, though. I might have given it 2, but I remember saying, like, I did not, like, it was okay. Like, it was just,
yeah, I think
forgettable.
You were definitely on the higher scale than I was with it.
Yeah. But this is a little more fun because it sounds like the same type of fucking movie, basically. Like,
yeah.
I like how you're saying she's killing everybody. Like, the DA and shit.
She doesn't pull any punches. She is out to. There is a pretty brutal scene with her and the judge of her family's case. And he's the one that dismisses the charges against the four shooters. And she is brutal in that scene. What she does to him is pretty twisted. And it's like, I don't know. Some people are going to be like, this isn't fun. It's pretty fucked up, but I had a good time with it. Yeah. I mean, it's a little unbelievable that somebody that, you know, she works as like an assistant manager at a bank prior to all this happening. And then 5 years later, she shows up and is like this ultimate badass. But it works for me.
Yeah, whatever. All right. What would you rate that?
I'm also going to give it 3 stars, but definitely higher on the recommend. Probably still not a rush out and go see it, but I would say, like, if it, you know, you catch it on Netflix or Hulu or something, it's worth the hour and like 40 minutes that it is.
All right. I'll keep an eye out for it. Well, fuck it. Let's get down to business.
All right.
What we came here to do. So we are here to review the Halloween franchise. And this is the first episode. We're going to do this all the way leading up to the release of the new film. You know, this is like kind of our Halloween special each year. We do a franchise, at least for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one is like the big one for me anyways. Like, it's like, this is like the series that got me into horror movies. Like, it's one of the very first horror movies I've ever seen. And so it would have. And it was my favorite, like, even like after I became a big horror like geek in like the later 80s when I was a little older, you know, like 8, 9 years old. Like, it was my favorite out of the three for sure. Like, I think the rankings went, you know, for me anyways, Halloween, Friday 13th, and then Nightmare 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
As the years have gone on, and I might have mentioned this last week, I do think like Friday 13th, it's more trashy overall, but like, this is a series that's more consistent. Like, you know, and we'll see how, like, what we think as we watch these Halloween films, but I think Halloween is like a wildly inconsistent series, but I think like some of the highs of that series are higher than Friday 13th. So it's just some general thoughts.
Yeah, fully agree with that too. Yeah. Also, similar history with the series. Halloween is my, you know, out of the slasher genre, and actually probably out of horror, it is my favorite series. I think it's going to be an interesting retrospective for us going back to some movies maybe we haven't seen in a while. Mm-hmm. And kind of getting our feeling on them. But Yeah, it is a highly inconsistent series, but I think it also has the best villain.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of these like super killer type dudes, I find Michael to be the most interesting, I think, out of them.
I think a lot of it for me is just like how cool I think he looks. Like, I think he looks,
yeah,
like that mask, like that's a huge part of it. And I do, you know, not every series or every movie has to be like this. I mean, obviously Friday and Nightmare aren't at all, but like, I do like how in Halloween, it's just like, he's just a fucking scary dude. Like, there's no reason. There's not really much of a backstory to it. He's got really no motive. He just starts killing people. Like, you know, that's yep. It. That's all there is to it. It's super simple. You know, it's fine. Like, I think, you know, Freddy's story is kind of interesting too, but like, it's just a different way to approach it. And I think, you know, there's just something about me that leans more towards Halloween because he's one, cool looking, and two, he's like a blank slate that you could kind of like fill in with whatever you want, really. So yeah, I it's weird. For some reason, I always remember you like loved Friday the 13th the most, but and I think like, again, like now, if I'm going to just like sit and watch a slasher movie, it would probably, I don't know, like 9 times or 8 times out of 10 be like a Friday the 13th movie. But there's still a very deep affection for the series. And like I said, I think some of the good ones in the series, Friday the 13th, none of them come even close to, not even the original Friday the 13th.
Right. Fully agree.
Okay.
On that.
So, go ahead.
And this one we're going to talk about right now is, I think it is the quintessential slasher film.
Yeah.
And it you know, it is better than any of the Friday the 13th movies. It's better than any of the Nightmare movies.
Yeah. Like,
it is just an excellent film all around.
Yeah, I think it is on a different level than every other film we're going to talk about in this series. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a lot of films in the series I really love and admire, especially early on. But there's those movies, and then there's Halloween, which is a bona fide classic. Like, the serious critics and shit fucking, you know, they love Halloween as well. They recognize it. So, yeah, it's kind of a weird one where it's like, I don't know what new to say about it. Like, there's so many brilliant things. I'm just like, we'll just talk about it and kind of like bounce around and pick out different things that that we, you know, like about it or just have want to say about it. But yeah, just as a general thing off top, like it's my favorite horror film period of all time. It's one of my top 10 films in general of all time. So I love it. I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. And it's just very basic, like horror thriller with an awesome, like awesome direction, awesome look and awesome sound. So, I don't know if you want to say anything more in general before we just like, just dive into just random shit that we wanted to talk about.
No, I mean, I think that pretty much covers the generalization of it. I've seen this movie tons of times. So, you know, doing the rewatch this time, I actually clicked on. I watched it in a different way this time. I didn't watch it with commentary on because I kind of wanted to be able to hear all the dialogue. But my Blu-ray had a, like, pop-up video style that, like, gave facts about the movie as it was
okay.
Like, I thought that was really – like, it was an interesting way to watch it and get information about, you know, how it was filmed or like what some decisions that Carpenter and Deborah Hill made. And it was an interesting thing. Cause like I knew some of it, but other stuff was kind of new to me.
Yeah. I mean, I have already known a lot about the series, but I also just randomly caught like a 2-hour documentary on A&E about it. Like right before we did this, like a day or two ago. So yeah, there's like a lot of little things that, you know, kind of stick out from that as well. Like one thing that they mentioned that I think is like, it's easy to like forget, like Like, when you watch this now, it feels like a slower-paced film.
Yeah.
But that's, like, part of that is because, like, you and I have seen this a billion times. Like, you know where it's going. Like, all, like, the little things that are, like, set up stuff at the beginning, it's boring because you know it. Like, you know, if it's your first time seeing it, I think maybe modern audiences would be a little like, yeah, it's a little slow. But, like, when you don't know, it's just kind of interesting. And on top of that, like, when that, like, the genre, like, Halloween was basically inventing this genre. Like, there's been a few examples before it, but most of it was, like, new at the time. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And so, like, the thing that, like, stuck out to me that they were talking about in the documentary is, like, at that time, people were not used to, like, slasher movies and the trope of, like, the killer doesn't die, like, you keep getting up, mm-hmm. you know? And so, like, when she attacks him in the closet and then, like, she's telling what's-her-name's to run down the street, you see him in the background, like, sits, like, kind of, like, straight up, all, like, robotic-like.
Such a great and scene, too.
It's, like, it's just an amazing shot. And then, you know, we think it's cool-looking and everything, but it's, like, when people saw that in the theater for the first time, they, like, shit their pants. They're like, fucking God. Like this guy's still alive. You know, they thought it was, like, the end of the movie, kind of. And, like, that's, like, just remembering that just gives me, like, a whole appreciation, like, anew again for this. That was just one of the things that, like, stuck out for me. I don't know.
I think that whole scene there is fantastic. The way it shocks, it's kind of done from, like, the doorway with him slightly out of focus.
He's definitely out of focus in the background.
And you see him, like, sit up, and he's just kind of sitting there. And then the next part is, like, when he's standing up, and it's just this, like, creepy movement. Like, it's like he doesn't have...
Like, shuffles.
Yeah, and it's like this jelly kind of movement, too. Like, just the way he moves up, it's so creepy, and it works really well. And I think also... for us, yes, we've seen this so many times before, and so the tension for us isn't there, but I do think somebody coming to it new would get that tension. Like, even, you know, some of it is a little dated because, you know, it was filmed in, what, 1977 or so.
Yeah.
But I also think that I think it was actually filmed early,
probably early 78,
Yeah, because it wasn't fall. That was one of the facts that they gave. They had to, like, all the leaves that are blowing around are, like, just paper leaves that they created. And but I think, like, somebody coming new to it would definitely get that tension. And it is creepy because Michael does pop up here and there. Like, Laurie sees him while she's in school. Like, you know, he's leering at her from across the street. Mm-hmm. And... you know, he pops up, like, outside of her house or around the hedge while she's walking home. It's like just creepy shots like that are, you know, for us, it's like, all right, yeah, we know where this is going. But somebody new coming to it is going to be like, what the fuck? Like, this guy's creepy, like, really creepy. And they're going to feel that.
I mean, one thing I love about the first one, too, is that so much of it, like, is, especially, like, in the first two-thirds, is just he's in the background, but he's almost in the background all the time. He's, like, lurking in the background of that fucking movie all the time. And it's, like, that's, like, one of, like, the coolest things I think about the original Halloween. And I think the sequel is, like, they try to capture a little bit of that, but, like, none of the sequels, like, got that was what was cool about the movie. And I have a feeling, I hope to God, that the new one is going to do that, like, rely on that a lot. Like, he's just hanging out.
Yeah, and that I think is what builds that tension up. And then when he finally goes off, like, you know, shit's gotten real.
And, like, think about it. Like, back then, if you're watching it for the first time, you're not viewing him like a Jason or whatever. It's just like, he's just some fucking dude that escaped from a mental hospital.
Right.
And you're just like, oh my God, look at that fucking mask he's wearing. It's creepy. Like you think of him, like people watching it for the first time would have been able to think of him as just like a creepy stalker guy, or like, you know what I mean? Like you don't know what he is really. Like,
and I mean, you kind of just view him as like this crazy guy that escaped, because like there's that whole scene when Dr. Loomis and the nurse are driving into the mental hospital to pick him up and bring him to the parole board. And they come across, like, which is just a terrifying scene of all these like mental patients wandering like a field.
Yeah.
And then Michael, you know, not in a mask, in basically hospital gown, jumps on top of the roof of the car. And like, you briefly see like he's a person.
Yeah. There's a shot near the end when he's taking his mask off for a second. You kind of see him a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, like for most of this movie, when you're seeing it for the first time, you're not thinking of him as like this supernatural thing. It's like that element is introduced at the very end of this.
Yeah, it's like the end of the movie.
And it's like, even then you could be like, well, I guess, you know, some people could maybe, I don't know. Doesn't seem very likely that you get shot six times and just get up and walk away, but
and fall out of a like second floor balcony.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, it could have been, oh, we got, you know, he walked into the bushes and fell over and died.
Yeah.
But although they do have like the breathing, and like, I really love how they closed the original film. Like, I think it's just, it's like an awesome fucking way to end the movie, where it's just like, it's just showing you all the places he's been, and his breathing gets louder and louder. I think it ends on the shot of the Myers house.
Yeah.
So I kind of let you know, like, he's probably back at his fucking house. I don't know. There's just so many things I can say about this movie that I love about the film itself. Just lots of interesting tidbits too, from, you know, watching documentary on it and shit. One thing I like, kind of like, I was talking to you about before this podcast, was like, it's kind of insane how many different people play Michael Myers in the movie. So there's like the young kid actor, I can't remember his name. There's Nick Castle, who plays the Shape.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Lee Wallace steps in at some point. This guy, I think his name is Tony Moran, plays him as like in the scenes where his mask is off.
Right.
And this one I just remembered. Deborah Hill plays,
she's the boy that like the little one in the first person
point of view.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's her. So it's like just crazy that like there's so many people that that played him in it. Another thing, go ahead.
Well, going back to Deborah Hill, like that whole opening is fantastic. Oh, yeah. It's all from like, it's this first person shot that it's not one cut, but it is seamlessly done so that it seems like it is all one thing. It is kind of funny. And I noticed this in both this one and in the second one, time is a little weird in this movie, because in that whole first person shot, you see Michael spying on his sister and her boyfriend on the couch, and then like he kind of like talks her into going upstairs to have sex, and then Michael walks into the house, he gets a knife, he goes up he doesn't even go up the stairs, he's in the living room where they were, and the boyfriend's coming down the stairs with his shirt off. Like, Ben, you're pretty quick.
I was just saying, really, I don't know if the, fucking I don't know quick. I don't know if time is weird or this was accurate. Like, he's a teenage boy, you know.
But I mean, he was able, like, she was completely naked and he was he was already dressed. Like, it was like, that's a little off, but it works. It works real well.
It is a really, like, I've always thought it was like a really cool, impressive scene, but watching a documentary on it, like, really like drove home how cool it was. Cause like, well, for one, the way the film shot in general is it was kind of new at the time. There was not a lot of Steadicam at that point.
Yeah.
And a lot of Halloween was shot Steadicam, maybe all of it, I don't know. But that's that whole shot you couldn't do without Steadicam, you know. And it's just like they were like it's so complicated because like say you're going up the stairs and then you turn around, you're going down the stairs. Well, you can't have the crew and all the lighting shit like right behind you. So like there's people like running around as they're doing the shot, like moving the lights all around as they're doing it and shit. Like they like had to like map it and plan it and like you know strategize it out. And then, you know, try to get it right in mostly one take.
Yeah, it comes out perfect.
You know, and this is like not a lot of horror films where you could like talk about, hey, that amazing fucking one shot, like, or, you know, that long take that they did in that movie. You know, like, just not a lot of horror movies are trash, you know?
Right.
And this was like John Carpenter thinking, like, he thought he was doing trash here. Like, he didn't even really want to do this movie, which is fucking hilarious to me. Like he wanted to do Westerns, you know? And Irwin Yablans came to him with the idea of, like, the babysitter murders thing. And then I think Irwin Yablans also came to him with, like, eventually later had the idea to, like, set it around a holiday. Let's call it Halloween. And yeah, John Carpenter loved it and went with it.
I think it was originally called just the Babysitter Murders, right? And then
they like, pitched it to
it's not a good Mustafa name. Yeah.
As the Babysitter Murders. Like I think it got approved as the Babysitter Murders. And then as they were developing it, they decided to go with the holiday theme, which again is another thing that like a lot of shit copied after that, you know, including Friday the 13th.
Right.
Another interesting thing, I mean, I'm just looking at like at the Wikipedia for that is like how many careers this film launched. You know, you have Carpenter, you know, he had done what, like I saw on Precinct 13 before mm-hmm. this.
Yeah.
Deborah Hill, she became a big time producer before she died. You know, he didn't start Donald Pleasant's career, but he's a pretty good get for the movie. Jamie Lee Curtis started her career, Tommy Lee Wallace. Fucking, and then Dean Cundey, which I did not know until the last couple of years, is actually a pretty big deal cinematographer. He didn't just do Halloween. Like, he went on to do little movies like, I don't know, Jurassic Park and Back to the Future and
Apollo 13.
Yeah. Like, big deal. And this was, like, the start of his career, too. So, like, it's just crazy that this like little ragtag group of like kids that just got out of film school somehow got like this small budget to make this movie, and it's funny too because after they released it, like they didn't like it wasn't a success right away. Some movies were released like regionally back then, like they would be like do a couple months on the West Coast and then move around towards the Midwest and this shit, and like. That's how Halloween was released. And at first it got, like, panned, and it slowly, like, built up momentum. And there were, like, certain critics, like once Ebert gave it, like, a 4-star review, then all of a sudden it was, like, wherever it was going next, like, you know, it was doing sellout crowds. Just, I don't know, just a crazy story and also just a great film.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I don't want to be stealing all the time here or if you want to move on to the sequel, but those are some of the things that stood out to me seeing it again and watching the doc.
I guess real quick before we move on to Halloween 2, what I did find interesting I would think that I would remember this and maybe it just it's getting blocked in my head, but the body count in Halloween is not that high.
It's really low. Yeah.
I mean, he kills his sister at the beginning. There's an off-screen kill of like a tow truck driver or a mechanic, which is where he gets his work suit.
A quick side note: I never understood like what that was about until I was an adult. Like after I'd seen it like 50 times. I was like, oh, wait, oh, that's where you got the jumpsuit. Okay, now I get it. Like, anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, and he kills a dog. And then there's the three people in the house. And that's
it. Yeah, it's essentially like the main show is like three kills.
Yeah.
And none of them are spectacularly violent. I do think that if I had to say a favorite one, it would be like him coming out of the closet and killing Bob. Like,
oh,
like
yeah. Bob with Eddie, the wall. Basically stakes him like about 6 inches off the ground.
Like, it seems totally like an impossible thing. But I don't know. But I do like the way like it cuts to just a shot of Bob's feet as like you see like the life going out of them, and then it's just like a shot of like the castle set. He's like, there's not much you can do with a mask on, so like you just got to do weird gestures like that. And Carpenter told him, yeah, just kind of like look at him like you're a dog or something, like. And like that's creepy. Like the little head tilt is
that is like the
it works.
It's like this
it's like guy he's an alien.
Up.
It's like he's an alien that doesn't understand like what humans are. So, like he's just like, ooh, what is this? Like, what have I done here? Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, would that be your favorite kill of the movie?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, none of them are super spectacular. Like, that's probably like
the showy one. Like, when we go back and like when we were looking over Friday the 13th, like you can definitely go, no, this was like it got more and more outlandish too, with the kills. But Michael is more of like, I carry my knife, and
well, early on, I mean, I do think there's you'll see
there are
later on. Yeah, this film, very basic. There's a boogeyman, and I think Carpenter and everyone involved did a great job. And, yeah, I mean, again.
And that's another line I love is at the end, after Loomis has unloaded his entire gun into Michael and he's dropped off the balcony, Laurie kind of is like, was that the boogeyman? And Loomis is like, yes.
Great story from the documentary about this, and it's probably one of my favorite things. Like, you just reminded me by talking about this scene. When Loomis like looks over the balcony, like after he shoots him off it or whatever, he said to Carpenter, he's like, I could play this two ways. I could play it as holy shit, what the fuck, or I could play it as of course he's not there.
Right,
and they tried it both out, and of course he's gone, is the one that like Carpenter found way more fucking disturbing, and I was like, it's a great, it's such like the ending of that movie is so fucking perfect. I love it, and that's part of it too. It's just like we're just like, yeah, this is just getting started, you know. So, anyways, obviously we love this movie, and,
yep.
And so. Chris, rating.
It's a 5.
Okay. It's 5 for me as well. And yeah, unless you have anything else to say, we could get on to part 2.
Let's move on to part 2.
So this was a couple years later. It was 1981.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween had changed the horror landscape by this point. And so now we're coming back a couple years later. And I think Carpenter felt that they needed to up the violence and make it more like the other slasher films, like Friday the 13th. After everyone like copied them, kind of they're coming back and like, we gotta be more like them. Although Carpenter did not direct this one, it was
Rick Rosenthal.
Yeah, I think it. I don't know if it was his first film, but it's definitely probably his first like big gig.
Right.
But Carpenter did, yeah, he wrote it. I think he and
Deborah Hill wrote it too.
Did write it, but they didn't, like, Carpenter admits to being like, I didn't know what to do. Like, I didn't know, like, what to come up, like, I couldn't come up with anything good, so you got what you got. And I think a part of that is, like, something that I've grown to not like about the series, which is like in the sequel here, they like felt like they had to add something, and it was that she's his sister. Laurie is Michael Myers' sister. And I don't know how you feel about it. Like, I don't. I guess when I was a kid, I just like accepted that, and I thought it was like planned. But now I'm like, no, I don't like it, and I don't like what like the trajectory that like it set the series down because of it. I don't know. What say you on that?
I love the ridiculous Myers mythos.
Really?
Oh, I do. Dude.
Well, it's you're gonna be so sad because it's gone. It's all gone now.
Yeah, and that's like. And rewatching Halloween 2, though, like I was like, I still really love this movie. Like, and I know that like the new Halloween movie basically retcons everything. Like, there was no Halloween 2.
Yeah.
But I mean, okay, it is a little stupid that she was his sister, but I like the insanity that they tried to like the web they tried to spin from this.
Yeah,
it never fucking works, but yeah. It is so nuts, and it's so much more crazy than like anything that like Friday the 13th ever did, or Nightmare on Elm Street, like, because it really felt like they were just like, I don't know what the fuck we're gonna do. So like after two, well after three, when they yeah. finally were like, we're gonna bring back Michael for four, and we'll talk about this next week.
Yeah,
but it was like, I don't know, let's just like go full bore into it. And I was like, that's, I love crazy lore and that, and yes, it's totally ridiculous.
Yeah, well, you're gonna love it's part stupid, five and six then.
I mean, yeah, it's all crazy lore, but and they're not particularly good, but
no,
I enjoy that aspect of it. I could see where you, like, hey, like it lost something doing that, but I like the crazy thread that has tied these movies together since two, and I think two is a really good fucking slasher movie.
Yeah, like it might sound like I was like trying to shit on it at the beginning here, but I was just trying to set up like how it came about.
Mm-hmm.
I really love Halloween Part Two. I think it's one of the best horror sequels of all time. It feels like a continuation of one. Like, Rick Rosenthal did a really great job of kind of mimicking the feel. You know, maybe not exactly, but it feels so much the same as the first one. And you can say that's a bad thing, but I don't. And I love...
No, I think it's perfect for it. And, yeah. Like, a lot of what you were saying where Michael is kind of, like, lurking around, like,
they still great...
shots where he is like yeah. in a doorway where a nurse walks by, or like he's just there and you've just seen him, you know he's there, and it creates this tension that was so great about Halloween and it translates to Halloween too.
Yeah, I think this is like really well made. It feels safe. I love, like, one of my favorite things about it. It's just one of the few sequels that like starts off as other ones ending. Like, it just one runs right into two.
Yeah.
And it's really like easy to do like a back to back, like,
yeah, like, it's like one close right in. Yeah. Like we're in fact, it picks up like the first scene of Halloween two is yeah, the end exactly. scene of Halloween one. There is, you know, I mentioned this with Halloween one, like there's this weird time discrepancy though, where to me, Halloween 2 should be like hours after kids are done trick or treating, because like was it Tommy and
yeah
and the little like, but they went to sleep.
Here's the thing, man. When we were kids, man, we trick or treated a little later. I think I feel like it was dark out, I'd still be trick or treating.
Yeah, yeah, fully. But I feel that like so when was it Annie drops off Lori to the house to babysit. Like
it's yeah, you're right. It's a little point. Yeah.
It's already it's dark like, then.
It's not just yeah. So like by this point, it's like midnight and shit.
Yeah, and like they watch a movie, they pop popcorn, they carve the jack o' lantern.
Yeah.
Like I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that happens, and to me, like at this point, like kids should not be trick or treating. But it was like, hey, we need to make it active because we need to build up off of that, and like having people around makes it more, you know, daunting as Michael is walking through the city. But it is like weird. But like with most movies, you have to suspend your belief a little bit. And
I do love the scene where he's like kind of walking around and he's like walking through a parking lot. Uh-huh. And he bumps into this kid who's like playing he has a boombox. I think they're doing like a news report about him or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of a callback to like one of the shots in the first one where he like runs into the kids and mm-hmm. then like starts stalking them. But also that is supposedly is one of the scenes that, they shot later to add a little more. I think it was explained like how he got to the hospital, like how he like knew to go there or okay. some bullshit like that. Something like that. It's something that they shot later. And Carpenter did that, that shot where he's walking and he bumps into that kid. And also, it's also weird that like the hospital is like quiet and dark and shit. Like yes. they're trying to like I don't think, I mean, I have not spent any nights in the hospital, thank God, in my life yet. But I don't think that's how it is it? Like
I mean, I've never, to my knowledge, stayed overnight in a hospital for me. But yeah. Like there's always nurses walking around, like
this place is like shut down.
Yeah, there's like three people that work there. And the security guard. It's like, it is kind of like, and I don't know. I live in a pretty major city. I don't know what like a small town hospital, but this looks like a pretty big building. It looks like maybe like four people staffing it. But what do I know? Right.
But I mean, I keep like picking on little things in this. Like, I generally really like this movie. And I actually don't care that it's more violent than the first one, because it does just kind of give it like its own personality. Yeah. And like you said, it's just a good slasher film. Like I'm okay with the series adopting with the times, I guess, you know. Like, I'm really excited for this new one that's coming out to just go back to what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do hear that like it's also violent too.
Which I think is
fine. I'm totally fine with this. Like, it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
What's wrong with like I love that part one gets away with not doing any of that, you know, and it's just a scary, suspenseful thing. But like, I'm totally fine with seeing Michael get some cool kills in too, you know?
Yeah, I think almost at this point he needs to. Like, it is a staple of the slasher genre at this point. And retreating all the way back to the beginning and ignoring everything that came since then, I think would do the film a disservice. So keeping some of the modern trappings and the history of what the genre has become, I think will do it really well, provided that, you know, they have the right story in place to build off of that.
Yeah. Trying to think what else with part two that like,
It has one of, I mean, most
probably of one of the best kills.
Yeah, it has one of my one of my favorite kills in the series, and it's the one that I think caught me early as a kid watching it, because this was a movie for whatever reason was always on like Sunday afternoons.
Yeah,
along with the original Halloween and The Exorcist. I saw these tons of times. They were on like a, not one of the major networks, but one of like the local channels.
Yeah, yeah.
Like horror movies during the week on like a Sunday. And it was one of the few channels I could get in my bedroom. And yeah, they were the edited versions or whatever. But
yeah,
it was what caught me. And like that kill in the fucking hot tub in the where he's boiling her fucking face off.
Yeah.
Is so awesome.
Yeah, like I knew exactly what it was gonna be, because it's like in this one's the most showy kill, like mm-hmm. it's the biggest, like, you know, it's like set piece kill. So yeah, that's probably my favorite from this one for sure. It's obviously like the most stunning or whatever. You're like, whoa, holy shit, what are you doing?
It's one that, and I mean, we talked about Friday the 13th last year, and like one of my favorite kills in that is the, in Jason X with the,
smashing face.
But like where he's like holding her head under there, and it has that same feel to me, from Halloween 2, and it's like, I don't know. Like, it feels like such an iconic shot and kill that it still sticks with me. I still think it works really well in this film.
And I like a lot of the kills in this. Like, I love the one with the nurse in the hallway where, mm-hmm. like, Jamie Lee is running away from him. She looks back and he, like, sticks that little scalpel in her or whatever, like, somehow lifts her up magically with it. I dig like the needle or whatever, mm-hmm. like syringe. And then also, I just randomly thought of this. Like, it used to like make me feel sick when I was a kid when I saw the dude slip on the puddle of blood.
Right.
I don't know why. I think when I was like a little kid, I was like afraid. Like, I was afraid of giving blood for the longest time. Like, I had a thing with needles and blood and shit. And so, like, it gave me a sick feeling when I was a kid. There's like a part of me still.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing the dude slip on that blood. And there's just something weird and off about that scene.
I have a major thing with needles. And this has two shots early on when they bring Lori into the hospital where they are pricking her with a needle.
Yeah.
I get queasy. Like,
I'm also not a fan of hospitals, so even though they didn't, like, represent them realistically, like, good setting, like, good idea, you know.
I also wonder if this might be where my fear of hospitals stems from.
No, I think it's all the sickness and death for me, but...
It could be
I mean, this could be part of it, because I did watch this pretty
Yeah.
But I think it's just, they just play into each other, where it's just like, Michael Myers is scary, hospitals are scary, this is all fucking scary. It's just a fun movie, and it's got like, I think, a pretty like cool big climax where, like, you know, first time you see it when you're a kid, it's like, motherfucker just blew up the hospital.
Yep.
You know, that was pretty cool. And he comes walking out of the fire, which, by the way, I don't know if you've seen the cover for the Scream Factory Blu-ray that's coming out of that. Like, that's the cover, is him walking out of the fire.
Oh, okay.
Oh my god, that's so cool.
No, I haven't seen that. I will have to look that one up. But I am interested to, next week we're going to watch 3 and 4. Loomis is in 4 and 5 and 6, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he died making 6, or right after 6 was done.
Yeah.
How the fuck does he survive? I don't know. I'm interested to see how they even broach that subject going into 4.
I could tell you.
No, I want to see it. We can talk about it next week, but
okay.
It's absurd. Like, and I think that is part of the stupid lore and everything.
It gets into stupid town for sure. And you know, we'll talk about those next week.
Yeah.
But I think 2 is, you know, no other, like I said at the top of this, no other film in the series is going to be what part 1 was.
Sure.
But I think 2, like I said, is a great, like, one of the greatest sequels in horror history, and a great continuation of The Night He Came Home.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's just so, like, you know, as a kid, even still now, I'm like, it's so cool that I just, like, it's the same night. Like, it's still one day. I can't even think of any other movies that were like, there's two different films in a series that are both on the same day. You know, like, that's pretty fucking cool. I think that, I can't remember his name that plays Michael Myers in this. He's one of my favorite ones to play him too. It's just like slipping my mind.
Is Dick Warlock?
Yeah, Dick Warlock. I think he is really good. Even though I think he was like a little short, so he had to like wear like
to wear platforms or something.
Platforms, yeah, on the shoes. I also think that like The mask looks awesome as fuck in this, even though like it looks like sickly, like, and the hair's kind of going crazier and shit. Like, I always thought it was a new mask because the mask does change a lot in this series.
Yeah,
like a lot, and some of them are terrible. Part four, but supposedly this is the same mask from part one. It would just was in Deborah's Hill's like room, like under her bed, and smoked in her bedroom, and so like that yellowed the mask a bunch, and like it kind of got all ratty and shit. But like,
I think that works.
It blows my mind. Like, it looks different to me. I don't know. It still looks different to me, even knowing that.
I think that that might work for it too, though, because like, you know, what Michael goes through, like, you know, falling out of the house, and you know, he was injured at that point. Like, he was bleeding. So yeah, maybe it would. Like, the hair would be a little more crazy, and it does look a little more yellow than it did in the original. But
I just remembered I took notes. So I have a couple notes from part two that we have not gotten to. Once you know that Curtis is wearing a wig, you can't unsee it. I don't know if you know. I mean, you know that she's wearing like a wig in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's super noticeable.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is, but it's just, yeah, it sticks out pretty bad. The murder of Ben Tramer. Remember the kid like walking around as Michael Myers?
And he gets
killed. Like,
yeah, with the car.
It's so ridiculous and over the top. Like, it's like two cars just like run into each other and explode and shit.
And so it that was the guy that Lori was supposed to go to the prom with, or the homecoming dance or whatever, right? Like the next night.
Yeah, yeah. That
okay.
From in part one when they were talking about
like, that's kid. Okay.
Like what I think it was like Nancy set up like she was supposed to go with him. But yeah, that was him. He's like drunk walking home from a party wearing the same fucking mask, like basically the same mask. It looks a little different. As Myers, he's just like straight up murdered, fucking blown up. They have to like use his teeth to figure out that it's not fucking Myers. That's kind of like ridiculous. Yeah, it looks like most of the other notes like we had already kind of touched on. Like, I don't like the sister. One note is just horny hospital staff.
Yeah, they are.
I remember as a kid, I always liked that Bud guy or whatever. Like, he sings that stupid song about, like, Amazing Grace, come sit on my face.
The ambulance, the EMT guy that works with the was it Tommy or Jimmy?
Yeah.
Works with Jimmy, yeah. Yeah, but Bud's... He's wrong in every way, but funny.
Yeah, I don't know. I and especially when I was a little kid, I thought he was amusing. I guess this is the film debut of Dana Carvey.
Really?
He's somewhere in here. Yeah, I think he's like in one of the news clippings as like one of the people like just stand there like watching, you know?
Okay.
Just like looking through the Wikipedia, seeing anything that stands out to me. But yeah, I think part two is I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5, Chris.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It is a 4 for me as well. I really love this movie though. We'll see what we think about the next two.
Well, it's like this one, especially 1 and 2. I think I see at least one of them every year around Halloween, right?
Yeah.
Some of these other ones, not so much. I will say this. I mean, this is not a huge spoiler. If you know me, I watch Halloween 3 a lot. Like, in the last couple of years, I've probably watched Halloween 3 more than the other ones. And I've already done our homework for next week on that one. So, but some of the other ones coming up, maybe not so much. I'm pretty familiar with one through five, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think after one through five, there'll be things that like I'll be like noticing for the first time, or like, oh, I forgot, you know?
Yeah, I know, like, I mean, much like you, I kind of try and watch one and two every year around Halloween, but less so the other ones. I own them all like you do, but I don't believe I've seen like H2O or Resurrection anytime in like the last 5 years or so.
When was the last time you watched part three?
Maybe a couple years ago.
Okay.
I don't love three. I think we have discussed this. Maybe I'll come around to it this time around.
But I mean, I'll tell you what. I mean, we'll save most of this for next week, but like, I like it more and more. Like, the more I watch it, the more I like it.
I'm wondering if, like, so a lot of my dislike for three stems from the fact that by the time, like, I got into Halloween, there had already been multiple Halloween movies, and I wanted more Michael Myers. I wanted more. Like, I mean, at that point, we had Friday the 13th, which was coming out like yearly at that point.
So, like, wait. Was three your first new one? Like, you were like, oh, I can't wait to see part three. And then, like,
no, because I think I also experienced three like on like shitty TV. So I don't. But like at that point,
that's all there was left, probably, though, at that point, because like four took a while to come out.
Yeah, four was like 88, 89.
Yeah.
So
it's like that's all you had. It was like,
yeah.
Oh shit.
And it's like I want fucking more Michael. Like, I mean, I got Freddy, I have Jason, but like Michael was cooler than both of them. And then this weird, goofy, and we'll definitely talk about it. But like, I think at the time I found three weird and goofy, and I don't know if that's ever left my feeling for it.
Yeah, I totally see that. And I like when I was a kid, that's exactly how I felt about it. And I do like now that you kind of like brought it up, I do remember being like, there was a period there, like a 5 year period where it's like, that's how Halloween ended, was a movie that wasn't about Halloween. And you're just like, what the fuck was that? Like, what were you guys thinking? But as like now with hindsight and everything, like I honestly wish that is like, you know, and we'll talk about it more, but like that I think was a good idea for the series. Like, okay, we told this story. Let's do something else.
Yeah.
Let's do something every other year. You know, maybe it doesn't have to be every year. Whatever, like, but like, you know, maybe every 2-3 years we have a movie that comes out around Halloween that has a Halloween theme to it, you know, and it's just different. Like, that's a cool idea.
Yeah.
We'll get into it. I think they did a cool, like an okay job with three. I'll save most of what I have to say about that for next week. But one and two, I think, are just both fucking awesome. Yes. One is obviously classic, and two is really fucking awesome, too. So, kind of a weird, like, hard to review those two, other than just, like, talk about random shit that you remember and think about. Because I've seen them so many times, I feel like everyone's said everything a billion times about them. So, it was just kind of fun to just, like, kind of shoot the shit about them, like, things you like.
Next episode, we'll dig into them a little bit differently.
Possibly, yes.
Yeah.
Although it's fun to just bullshit about the movies.
Yeah.
I mean, these are old movies and whatever. But yeah, I think they're both great. And I don't know. I don't know what else to say. I love this series. And I think those two are like pretty much the high point. I think we both kind of agree on that much. Yeah. I think our opinions are going to get pretty interesting.
Yeah. I think there are fun things about the rest of the movies, but these are my two favorites in the series. So.
Yeah. I think there's two I think you and I have like the least disagreement about. I think like you and I agree with almost everything about these two, where it's just like they're both awesome, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know. We're already talking about three, like, you know, there's differences there. There'll probably be I have a certain fondness for four, but we'll talk about that next week. So come back. I think I'll also have probably the Predator.
I will also have the Predator. Supposed to go see it tomorrow. Sweet, I may sweet. Also have a quick review of A Simple Favor as well. We'll see if I get out to see that, though.
Okay.
Movie dudes.